Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and I am super excited to be here tonight. I'm super excited to be here tonight with my wonderful, fabulous guest, Reverend Anthony Farmer, whom I just spoke to 20 minutes ago and said he was going to call in, and he hasn't called in yet. So what I'm going to do is just leave him a note on his Facebook page to call in right now. And in the meantime, after I type this in, I can clearly babble, as only Golden Hawk can do, until he calls in. So it is October 20th, and there have been, there have been quite a number of energies and shifts, definite shifts going on within my personal experience. This week I basically, I have parted ways with yet another friend. And, you know, I was earlier in the week on the Mystical Mother Earth show, we were discussing anger. And I'm finding personally that, well, first of all, that things are never really coming out as I planned them to be. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm not upset. I'm not angry. I talked to Anthony 20 minutes ago on his Facebook page, shot him out the phone number. I'm not quite sure why he's not calling in. But it really just, it's kind of just another list in a long list, another event or another experience in a long list of events and experiences where life is not unfolding the way I thought it was going to unfold. It's funny because Janine will always say, you got to learn to be quick on your feet. Anytime you do any kind of live show or any kind of media that's live, you know, I've seen bloopers, you know, from days gone by, from like the I Love Lucy show and the Ed Sullivan show. And clearly when you're dealing with a live media, things have a tendency to, you know, not go as planned. I'm really not sure why Anthony's not calling in. Anyway, so earlier this week, I'm basically, I am indeed taking space from a friend of mine. Hopefully this is Anthony. Anthony, is that you?
It is I.
Yay! Anthony's here! I'd hit the applause button. Okay, I had to be a little quick on my feet there. Had to take a few minutes. I think it's a good lead-in, and would love to share with you kind of the situation. I think kind of happening for all of us. This is a global experience, for lack of a better word, where, you know, we can plan things all we want. We can want things to be, quote-unquote, the way we want them to be. But it really doesn't feel like, in all honesty, that matters. You know, and I'm not saying that we don't matter, but there definitely seems to be like a, like the visual I keep having, and it's funny, I'm very visual when I'm on with you, because your connection to your imagination and your connection with the elders literally, from an empathic point of view, helps my imagination kick up a few gears.
Okay.
But the visual that I have is that it's like a cheesecloth, and we can want what we want, but like the cheesecloth is rising, and it's taking with it anything that's really not in support of the way the new frequency or the deeper aspects of who we are really want things to be. I don't know. Are you experiencing that at all?
When you first started talking about it, I laughed to myself. And the example for me is I'm being guided to start a church, a spiritual community.
Okay.
And when I start to think about, you know, what's the vision and where it's going, you know, it has a life of its own.
Yeah.
Anytime I try to impose what I think it should be, doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Even when I come from what I consider to be, you know, a place of non-ego and for my highest good, it doesn't work. And so what I am feeling is the universe is really saying, you know, get out of the way.
Yeah.
Out
yeah.
of the way.
Yeah.
And get in alignment with me. And when that happens, things just flow. And then the surprise is, things flow in such a way that whatever is in my highest good manifests anyway. But it doesn't manifest the way I think it should, the way I want it to, the way the timing that would be most comfortable for me. It manifests in a way that is really, really, really in alignment with the universe.
Right on. Right
okay.
on.
Out of the way.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad you're on, because, and that's expressed beautifully, because it really is about an alignment with self.
Yeah.
It just might be a part of ourselves that, you know, we might not be as familiar with, you know, because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we're kind of being born again in this, in the frequencies and,
yes.
and the whole, you know, the whole experience really is brand new for all of us. I mean, there's not an expert in the lot of us, because the truth is, this is all new for all of us, including the interdimensionals. Well, I would imagine, are the elders also experiencing shifting and changing within their dimension?
They have not shared any of that with me.
Okay.
And probably because they are such in flow in their world.
Yeah.
That it doesn't look the same as it does in our world when, you know, when the vibration changes and shifts. And for me, I have to give myself permission or time to get acclimated to the new vibration and the new frequency. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I said, it's like the universe changed the music, and the dance that I was dancing no longer applies to the new music.
Yeah,
so true. And so I have to give myself time to feel the new music, and then, you know, the dance will come with the new music. But on the elder side, they seem to be in flow such that there's very little disruption on their side. Now, they may, you know, it may look differently on their side, but for me witnessing what's going on with them, they're just going with the flow.
Yeah, well, and, you know, that supports the whole idea that change really is a constant. The resistance I'm feeling is my belief that I want to hold things the same when change is a constant. Yeah, exactly. The universe is completely laughing at me at this point. Yeah.
My analogy is that the universe, you know, God, Goddess, the Creator, will call in the other higher beings and said, you know, come watch TV. It's the Tony Farmer show. Let's get a kick out of watching how he hops into everything and tries to make it his way and do things his way. You know, and they sit down with their microwave popcorn and just get a good laugh.
Yeah, microwave popcorn or supernova popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
I think those supernovas are really just popcorn makers.
Okay.
I'm joking. I hear you, though. I hear you. And indeed, indeed, I do believe we are the greatest show in the galaxy right now. I mean,
yes, we are.
Yeah. Oh, so, you know, I have been sharing a lot lately how, you know, because I don't think it's getting tiring at all, you know, speaking about the adjustment to all the changes that are happening. I mean, I've been talking about friends are, and people are, you know, from a frequency point of view, you know, leaving my world, leaving my life. And it's not even a matter of, it's not about hatred or anything like that. It's just, it's like there was a groove that I felt, and I don't feel the groove anymore. I don't feel in sync with these people. And,
right.
You know, and it's, you know, because people are like, you know, like I'll share it on Facebook, and they're like, well, you know, it has to, you know, what are you doing to look within? And I agree with that wholeheartedly. And what I'm finding when I look within is simply that I just don't resonate with these beings anymore, and not from a judgment point of view, but I'm just going to continue to respond to the flow of them. Where, in other words, I'm not even, my desire to want to call and stay in communication with them is, it's not there. And
I've had similar experiences, and I am having similar experiences. You know, some people that I would talk to on a weekly basis, I find that the desire to talk to them at that same, you know, frequency isn't there anymore. And
yeah.
Some people I would talk to, and it feels like we're having the same conversation we had 2 and 3 and 4 years ago.
Yes.
And sometimes it's like I can't have that conversation again. No judgment on them, no judgment on me, no judgment on anything. But it just, it's a demonstration of something that I read several places, but it's that, you know, people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Yeah.
Sometimes those people who come into your life for a season, you know, the season's over.
Yeah.
And although, it doesn't mean we have to, you know, stop being friends with them and just, you know, take them out of our cell phone number, you know,
right.
Delete their contact information. But what it does is it allows for a different relationship to emerge. And sometimes those relationships may mean that I don't talk to that person once a week. I may talk to them on our birthday.
Right.
Or I may talk to them when, you know, when there's, you know, some revelation in each of our lives. So it just allows
yeah.
for a different type of relationship. And those people who play a very significant role in our lives, they will always be in our hearts. They will always be in our hearts.
Yes, yes.
But it is, for me, it is challenging because sometimes I go through the thing of, well, you know, we were friends. I thought we were friends. Then, you know, the friendship should last forever. And it's like, well, the friendship can, but it may just look differently than the way I thought it was going to look. And then
yeah.
what I find myself going through, and that just came to me earlier today, was I also need to allow myself to grieve those relationships that are changing and even those aspects of myself that are no longer moving forward with me. I have to give myself permission to grieve that because that is a loss. And
yeah.
And I want to allow myself time to say, you know, thank you for being a part of my life up and, you know, to this point, and I appreciate it. And now it's time to go on to the next part of my life.
Yeah, no, brilliant, brilliant, and absolutely. Because it's funny, because you know, change is very significant right now. Like it's becoming I can't even put it into words, which is. Believe me, I'm never shy for words. And like, there it is. See, okay, so there's one of the ways that it's changing. I mean, I'm actually, you know, I can't put into words the experiences that I'm feeling and that I'm sensing. You did beautifully. And I think we should really be gentle with ourselves.
Yes.
And with others, because, you know, tempers seem to be also, way high, high. Like everything, intensity in general. Like there's intense passion and there's intense temper and there's intense grieving. We seem to be so, like, there are times when I feel like I am the chick in the egg and my egg hasn't cracked yet. I mean, it's like I feel so crowded in my own experience, you know, and I'm looking to get out of the egg. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes what I'm doing, I'm punching my way out. And believe me, that doesn't necessarily crack the egg. It cracks a few, you know, I've hurt some people's feelings and said some things. And, you know, I'm a very humble person. I'm not looking to hurt people's feelings. I'm just, you know, I just got this, it's a tightness around me. It's like I just want to break free, and I'm not sure how to do it, in all honesty. I just keep trying things, and at the moment, I don't know, you know, if you have any insights or the elders have any insights, I definitely welcome them, because coming through right now is do nothing. Just sit still, and you won't feel so cramped.
Two things came through as you were talking. One was when you said be gentle, and there was this echo of like, yes, 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 we need to be extra gentle with ourselves, because you know, we're going through, you know, a change, and it's not even a change. Change really doesn't capture the intensity of it, but we're really going through it, the universe and everyone in the universe. And so it's like, be extra gentle, be extra loving, be extra forgiving of yourself. Just be extra gentle. The other thing that's very present in my consciousness is the vision of the elders. And, you know, as we're talking about this change that we're going through and the expansion that we're experiencing within our consciousness, the elders are saying, yes, we feel it, we sense it, we realize it, and then they're sitting down to eat dinner. They say, don't forget to sit down and eat dinner. Don't forget to nourish yourself. Don't forget to do those things that sometimes we take for granted. They're sitting down at the table eating, and they say, yes, it's going on. And we still eat dinner together.
Yeah.
We still take time to go walking. We still sit by the fireplace. We still go on the front porch and just watch the world. We still do that.
Yeah.
In the middle of all the chaos, the change, the shifting, the tornado, it's finding that peace in the middle, the eye of the storm.
Mm.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Right on.
And it's easier said than done. I was telling somebody the other day, they were telling me about something they're going through, and they understand it, and they said it's easier said than done. And my response to them was, yes, it is easier said than done, but continue to say it because it gets easier.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, I love the idea of the eye of the storm, because when I'm in the eye, I am more peaceful than I've ever felt in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I get into the storm, you know, I'm literally a pinball, you know, I'm getting smashed around all over the place, I'm out of control, you know, there's such extraordinary extremes, you know, it's crazy, crazy.
And for me, when I'm in the storm, and I'm like, I'm trying to get my bearings, I'm trying to get my footing, it's like, you cannot use the legs you use to stand on earth when you're flying around in the wind.
Right.
You got to find your wind legs, or you got to find your water legs.
Yeah.
But trying to hold still and maintain this sense of I got both feet on the ground in the middle of a storm, nah, not going to happen. I've tried.
So true. You're right. You're right. So true. Well, and I guess that's what it is. We're awakening to our multidimensionalness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I truly believe, and not to oversimplify it, but that's really what's going on. We are expanding. We are expanding. And with that, the old ways of doing things and the old ways of seeing ourselves and the old ways of processing life and the old ways of even trying to hide from life are not working.
Yeah.
They just don't work anymore. And I think that's a lot of what's going on with our financial systems and all these other processes and institutions that we've developed. They're failing because they're based on a paradigm that's shifting.
Yeah.
And so
we're gonna have to
allow them to shift as well. But a lot of the challenges, people want to hold on to the old way of doing things because they had an illusion of power and control in that, and it is shifting.
Yeah, shifting. Transparency. I think you're right on the ball. No more secrets.
No more secrets.
And what I'm finding interesting is it's not just about no more secrets being kept between people. It's no more secrets being kept between self.
Yes.
You know, my subconscious is becoming conscious. At least to me, I'm becoming conscious of my subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm seeing everything. One thing that's showing up so clearly in my life is my addictions. What I'm addicted to, and I'm not just talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, I'm talking codependent relationships.
Uh-huh.
Addicted to talking on the telephone. You know what I mean? Things that people, you know, there isn't TA, there isn't Talk Anonymous. it's just ways that I'm not sovereign, and I'm still energetically feeding off of something outside of myself. Is first, it's becoming clear to me what that is, and then second of all, it's no longer feeding me. The feeding doesn't taste good anymore. It's becoming sour and distasteful.
That's a powerful awareness. That is powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, it changes everything, to be quite honest. And
it really does.
It changes everything without, and the only thing I have to do is allow the change to happen, because when I try to hold on things, again, it's sour and distasteful. It doesn't feel good to hold the addiction anymore. It literally feels, because I remember when I quit smoking cigarettes, one of the things I realized was I can take a deep breath on my own. I no longer need the cigarette to take a deep breath.
Right.
So, and when I realized that, taking the deep breath with the smoke then started tasting bad, because I wanted the deep breath just to be oxygen. I didn't want it to be necessarily filled with smoke. And the same thing is going on with me with the addiction I have in my relationships. And it is powerful. It's beyond me, even though it's all about me. There's so many paradoxes. You know, I'm a walking oxymoron. And so I feel fantastic, and I feel totally intimidated by my own experiences.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And I believe that's when you, for me, that's a sign that somebody is living. When you feel both extremes at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try not to pretend you're in one when the other one is staring you in the face.
Mm.
I see, you know, some people like that. It's like, oh, everything's fine. I'm going, okay. You say everything's fine, but right behind you is this, you know, big dust storm. And I know you can see it. You know, I know you can feel it. And it's okay to acknowledge that, you know, some days everything's fine, and some days everything just is not fine.
Yes.
Or some moments everything is fine, and some moments everything is not fine.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that tends to be what I'm fighting with people about, that a sense of denial in their lives, that I'm like, I see it so clearly, and I don't know, you know, I'm not, you know, being subtle or quiet. It's like, listen, if you're not going to admit that you got issues, and I'm not saying you have to admit you got issues to me, but I'm admitting I've got issues, and I'm looking for other people to just be in their truth, because there's no judgment around the issues. It's the experience of sharing. We're going through a metamorphosis together. Let's share the metamorphosis. And, you know, I'm not resonating with anybody who's, you know, primary answer is it's all good, in the sense of, without kind of getting to the juice of it, because I get that from an expanded point of view, it is, of course, all good. This is our soul becoming physical, and that's fantastic.
Right.
But it is, you know, there is an integration of darkness and pain and you know, a feeling that is uncomfortable, that from a verbal point of view, I feel more comfortable addressing than denying. And
for people to say, for some people, and this is not everybody, but I you know, I've had some clients and some friends who will say, well, it's all good, and I'm with you, yes, in the grand scheme of things, in the overall biggest vision there is, yes, it is all good. But when you use that to avoid going through
exactly
your stuff, then it's a form of denial.
Mm.
And you really don't believe it's all good. You're trying to tell yourself it's all good so that you don't have to go through your stuff.
Exactly.
And then what I find is that same person who's saying, well, it's all good, you know, 2 days later, all hell's broke loose.
Exactly.
Because they're all good.
Just snapped.
It snapped.
Yeah.
And I tell them, I say this because I, too, try to use the, it's all good, everything's in divine order, and it just didn't hold water because I wasn't speaking it from a higher truth. I was speaking it from a place of trying to avoid going through what I did not want to go through.
Exactly. Wise. There's such, because, and listen, I'm willing to do this on the air, so to speak, because I want people to really know that in the vulnerability is where my most poignant moments of strength are coming from. The surrender that I know, this, or the surrender that it has to be, you know, a total blissful experience without any of, you know, the polarized opposite of, you know, some, like you were, when you were saying, the mourning of friendships.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely mourning friendships because, I mean, in all honesty, I'm dropping people like flies. You know, it's like, wow, I wasn't, you know, I really thought I was going to go into my future with these beings. And I'm not saying that I'm not, but at the moment, there is a complete acknowledgement of sovereignty that, I'm just taking care of myself.
And that's for me, it's part of the spiritual journey, that sometimes we find ourselves going through a period of solitude. And sometimes it's, you know, we consciously make that choice. And then sometimes it just seems like the universe supports us in making that choice subconsciously.
It's very true. Yes.
And so sometimes what it may just be that our higher selves is saying, you know, for the next, you know, couple of moments, you know, a couple of weeks or a month or what have you, we need you to let go of everything and walk this path in solitude.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can
get
whatever it is you need to get, receive whatever it is you are to receive, integrate whatever it is. And then, you know, once you walk through that solitude, you know, for as long as you need to, then you will, on the other side of that, some of those old friends will be there. But they won't be the old friends because they're going to walk through their stuff too. And then there are new people on the other side too.
Right on. Yeah. Right on. That's beautiful.
Doesn't make
beautiful
it easier,
advice.
But it does.
Right.
It just
right.
provides some explanation.
Right. Because that seems to be the way I'm experiencing many of the shifts is, first I'll start experiencing the shift, and then the wisdom of knowledge will come in. Now, knowledge doesn't take away the emotional experiences that I have to live through,
right.
but they do help me understand why I'm going through it, which, for me, I tend to process through my left brain, so that it does help me. Some people can do it, you know, on just pure faith, and I totally honor that because, you know, we don't need to know. But for me, it comforts me to know, or at least believe that I know, because that's another thing. Things I know are changing on a day-to-day basis. I you know, I mean, it's not just friends that are dropping like flies. Belief systems are just, like, becoming so incredibly clear. And I'm like, that's not what I want. I mean, and these are things like, you know, building Merkabahs and light bodies around me, things that I believed had everything to do with my ascension. I'm coming to the clarity to recognize, as long as it's my brain and my mind building it, that's not an organic ascension. That is a fourth dimensional ascension. And the truth is, the shell that I believe I'm in, I'm ready to become a fifth dimensional being, which in my construct equates to you go beyond the paradigm of duality. You go, or not just duality. Duality is in the fifth dimension as well, but beyond the paradigm of the false gods, the false light. You know, the seven chakra system, to a place where there is genuine harmony in everything. You know, everything is just in total conscious awareness of everything else, from the blade of grass and the wind, the air, the earth, you know, like the elders, you know, where that is actually the physical experience, not just the non-physical, but the physical experience. And that's where I want to be, and as I, you know, I say I want to go there, it's amazing to me what is, you know, kind of slipping by and just dissolving right in front of my very eyes. Beliefs that I have, you know, I have been hell-bent on for several years of my awakening. It's quite profound, to be quite honest. It's profound.
Yeah. It's, you know, for me, it's those beliefs. They served a purpose during the time that I held them, and they supported me in getting to where I am now.
Yeah.
And so where I am now, I no longer need, you know, those beliefs.
Right.
And if I'm going to, you know, allow myself to continue to grow and change and expand, I also have to allow for those beliefs to grow and change and expand. And some of them will no longer serve me, you know, where I am now. It's like, you know, if I'm on a journey walking across America, what I need to carry me, you know, over the mountains, the Appalachian Mountains, I may not need once I get on the other side because it's, you know, pretty flat.
Oh, why? Right on.
And also
right on.
I let go of that, you know, that gear, that which supported me to get to that place. And then, you know, when I get to the Rocky Mountains, I may need to pick up something else or acquire something else to get me through that part. So we're constantly having to, you know, take self-inventory of our beliefs. And, you know, and as you were talking, what came to me also was when our beliefs change, if there were people in our lives that were associated with those beliefs, once those beliefs change, then, you know, those people will shift away as well.
Yeah.
And elders now are saying, they're eating dessert. And so there are chocolate chip cookies, which are my favorite.
Me too.
And pie. And it, and you know, what I gained from seeing that, it's yes, you have the big meal where you're being fed the heartiness of truth and the heartiness of the wisdom, and but don't forget the desserts too. Don't forget the sweetness.
Yeah, that's deep. That's truth. You know, we're so focused on, you know, everything. Well, I can't speak for other people. I can only speak from my own experience. I have been focused like a laser beam on my ascension for the past 16 years. I mean, really, everything I have done from, like, not the perspective necessarily of who I've danced with in life, but everything I've done from the point of within has all been about, for me, the destination of ascension. You know, I heard Kryon mention it in 1992, and in 1996 I made a verbal declaration, I will ascend, and nothing will stop me. And it's interesting because, like you said, you know, the ascension, that, you know, it's like everything I was doing to get above the mountain. What's so funny is I'm in the desert now.
Right.
And now they want everything that I, you know, I'm dropping everything. It's like I'm literally going into the stripping down part where, you know, I'm losing gear, I'm losing beliefs, I'm losing my mind, and that's not a negative. That's because my mind thought it knew how to ascend, but that's really not what the ascension is at all. The ascension really is the integration of my polarities, and at this point, that's really a, I don't want to just call it an emotional experience. It starts with emotions, but it's really about the sensation of allowing everything to be unified in my being from a perspective that it has value. The pain has value, the joy has value, the loneliness has value, the coupling has value. Nothing is better than the other thing, and that the goal is to know everything that I'm experiencing has value. And feeling it, more importantly than anything, is the most valuable experience for me to go through. That is what I'm taking into the desert with me. You know, a little thing of water, maybe a couple of crumbs of bread, and a whole big vial of feelings. Because, holy moly, you know, that was brilliant. I really appreciate that, because that insight, it just fits, you know, with what I'm experiencing, and I know I'm not alone, you know, and we're, you know, listen, some of us could be coming into the going up the mountain, some of us could be, you know, going into a lake, you know, I guess everything is, you know, is really situated for the personal experience.
It
for
really
me, though,
is, you have to, you know, sort of sit back and say, where was I? Where am I? And sometimes we can say, where am I going? But that can be a trap.
Yes.
Because we get caught up in trying to figure out where we're going versus just moving forward, taking that step in faith. And some people are coming out of the desert where it was dry and they couldn't find water.
Yeah.
And they're coming into, you know, a lush green forest that is, you know, full of a different type of life.
Anthony, can I interrupt?
That change can shock some people because they're so used to the desert and the dryness and the seemingly scarcity of life, and now abundance is right in front of them, and they don't know how to handle it. And sometimes they want to run back to the desert because they know how to handle that.
Yeah, no, I attest to, I don't necessarily know how to handle it, but I know I'm not leaving until I do know how to handle it. Listen, we have a caller. Are you cool if I take a caller?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, let me just unmute them. Okay, area code 503, you're live on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Can I ask who's calling?
Hi, this is Shannon. Right now I'm calling from Pennsylvania. I have a great question. It's about my relationship, and I'm ready to move forward and make that move to take my children back out west with me. I was wondering what you see in the future, in the near future, or how it may possibly unfold.
What came to me as you were talking, the element of water appeared, and before you go, whenever you made that choice to go, you could benefit from doing some personal rituals around water. And what that can look like is water brings in the essence of cleansing and clearing. And so what I'm hearing is clear out whatever you need to clear out now and not take it with you where you go.
Okay, that's funny. Actually, I'm standing right beside a river.
Nice.
Right now. And I was out west and came back out east to get my children to go back out west, trying to make sure I get a job, get a house, get myself back out there. I'm very excited about this partnership and really as seeing it as manifesting full force. In a positive direction with my children concerned. And I know it's a huge step, but at the same time, I feel new. I've erased all my false beliefs and went through paradigm shifts and have really been cleansing to get to my higher self and to connect one with God. So, coming back east has also helped me as far as clearing out some karma blocks that I had and helped me do some more cleansing. So, you know, I don't want to be lied to, and I don't want to live in a fantasy world. So I guess I want to know that it's going to be solid and that I'm not setting myself up.
Water, when the element of water came up, a couple of things. Number one, about the cleansing and clearing. Number two, water brings in a sense of clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Just brings in a sense of clarity. Water also brings in the essence of going with the flow, that whatever you're about to do, that the timing is good, because the water says, you know, move, go with the flow. Go with the flow. What I'm also hearing is for you to, if you're standing by a river, release to the river anything that can block you from seeing the path that is the best path for you.
Okay.
Just release whatever blockages that will prevent you from seeing the path that is the best path for you. You don't need to know what that stuff is. Just release it. Any blockages that prevent you from seeing the best path for you. Your move out west is going to be different than what you may be anticipating. Different in the sense that what you're anticipating, and just to sort of quantify it, what you may be anticipating or hoping may be a $5 bill, the move is a $10 bill, if that makes sense.
Okay, so it's more.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because, there was a third party that was interfering with my relationship, and that is one of the things that has kind of
Take your power back. Don't give that third party the power. You have the power of choice. You can hear what they may have to say, but don't allow them to be the deciding factor in the choice that you're making.
Okay, because quite honestly, it's so strange. She plans on moving into the same place as I'm moving with my partner because she wants him back. So she's pulling a whole bunch of loops and hoops through money to solidify that. And that's the only thing that's really held me back, actually. So,
Release any blockages and barriers to the water. You don't even have to name them. You don't even have to, you know, figure out who they are associated with. Just release it to the water.
Okay.
And I tell you why, because what's being revealed is your move out west will reveal to you a gift or gifts that you aren't seeing, that they have little to do with the relationship and your kids. Those are important, but the move out west will reveal to you sort of a bigger prize, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Much bigger prize.
Okay. Okay. Do you have any, clarification on a gentleman named Michael in my life?
What I hear is, you cannot receive Michael as Michael is. You have to allow Michael to evolve, grow up, expand before you can receive Michael. That
okay.
makes sense. What it's saying is sometimes people come into our lives and they may be a person that can bring something, you know, to our lives, but the timing is not right. And then they may have to do some growing, some internal, some journeying inside to get a better understanding of who they are and what they want. And when that clarity comes, then they can bring what it is they need or what it is they're supposed to bring to you.
Okay. As a spiritual teacher, he has blessed me with many, many, many great gifts, and he's the one that I'm supposed to move in with out west within less than a month. So that's why I was like, okay.
and what I said, you know, everything I was saying, that could happen in an instant. That could happen in a day.
Mm.
It's not a lifetime thing that, you know, this person has to go through some trials and tribulations before they get to this higher level of understanding of who they are. It could happen in a day.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions or any messages from the guides on my particular spiritual journey?
Water seems to be the element that's calling you.
Okay.
And how that can look to a person is really connecting to the energy of water, spending time, you know, by the ocean or rivers or waterfalls, giving yourself permission to have what I call sacred showers. Sometimes you will have a shower that's more than just cleansing the body. It's really cleansing the spirit, cleansing the, rejuvenating the spirit, having sacred soaks in tubs of water with essential oils,
mm-hmm.
particularly lavender and rose seems to be calling out to you. So what I'm hearing is, with your spiritual journey, you know, whatever path that takes in terms of you know, whether it's connected to a particular religion or particular spiritual path, whatever that is, make sure that you include or increase your connections with water. Water's in nature. Increase your intake of water in terms of what you drink. Bless the water before you drink it, but really allow yourself to become much more connected and intimately connected with the element of water.
Okay. Okay, I will do that. I am very grateful.
Calling out to you.
Well, I have been talking to the water every single day. Like I said, I live right beside the river.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart's telling me to go back out west. I'm supposed to go to Idaho. I want to go back to Oregon. I absolutely love it.
What a state. My mind.
Yeah. It's been a little silly because my main purpose was to go to Ohio, and I completely bypassed that and went to Oregon instead, and I was only supposed to be out there for a week. At least I thought that's what I was supposed to be out there for. I stayed out there for 6 months. I stayed out there for 6 months, didn't want to leave. My partner went to India, and I came back out east to get the kids to move back out west. So I'm anxious and so excited and just want everything to fall into place and get myself out there as far as jobs and everything. Just I want to go back home. I miss my family. I really do.
The other thing that connects with going out west and water, in some Native American medicine wheels, west, the direction of west is also the direction and the element of water.
Oh, nice.
And then the other thing that comes to mind is, and I don't know what's your, you know, religion or spiritual path, but there is a goddess that is connected to water that you can also connect with that will...
Okay, is that the Temperance?
I don't know.
It could be the Temperance from the Tarot. Yeah,
okay.
They're the one pouring
yes.
the water. Yeah,
yes.
yeah. That feels right. And the fact that it was coming from you, yeah. Ride with that. Run with that.
Oh, with that.
Swim with that.
Okay.
Really, really embrace that energy. Embrace that connection. It's very, very special for you.
Okay, I will do that. There's just been so many changes in my life, and I appreciate your guidance. It has helped clarify some things for me. I have a little trepidation, of course.
Well, if you didn't, I would say you're not being real.
There you go.
And, you know, I've had to come back out east and have some stuff with my children and other things to button up. I believe that there were some doors that needed to be closed, so
right.
that's why I had to come back. I'm so excited, and the energy is emanating, and the light of God is emanating in my entire being, and I cannot express in words to anyone how this feels, and it's just such an upliftment of joy.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful. I feel extremely blessed and grateful. I don't have everything that I want at this moment. I'm not saying I won't get it. And I know that I'm not going to sit here and live in a fantasy, and I want things in my life solidified and stability, and I'm very grateful. Even all the lessons that were horrible in my life, they were the most beneficial.
Exactly.
Those hard lessons, when we get through them, we realize that they were a call to us to get in touch with some muscles that we didn't know we had. And now we got those muscles and we can use them for whatever else is coming down the pike. The other thing for you around when I was saying bless the water before you drink it is because you have healing energies in your hand.
Yes, I do. I do.
Yeah, that's very important to bless the water before you drink it. And also be conscious of that when you're fixing food, because it goes into the food you prepare.
Oh my goodness, that's I'm supposed to when I go out west is open up a restaurant because everyone loves my cooking and
nice. Nice. Good call, Anthony. Sweet.
So and I do, and I cook when I'm happy, because if I'm upset, it doesn't work out right, and everyone's like, this doesn't taste very good. So,
yeah, you got some skill in your hand. Good for
I
you.
I do, and I am a wonderful healer, and I really need to embrace my spiritual gifts. I paint, and I do all sorts of crafts and things, and I haven't done that for a while. I felt like I was asleep for 2 years and pretty much confounded in chains. And once I broke those free, it's like I'm unstoppable. I don't know.
Go for it. I will give you, we'll share this with you. Sometimes when we're in it, it is chains. We are bound up. We can't breathe. But once we get through it and we look back and we go, wait a minute, I was in an incubation.
Exactly.
I was in incubation. Preparing me for what's coming up. Oh God, we got this.
You know, I do appreciate the fact that you've taken time to listen to me, and I appreciate you answering my questions. I know that I feel that I have to explain why. I know I don't have to explain, but I feel like I have to explain why I asked about Michael is because we lived together for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and he's in India right now with the person that's causing issues in our relationship. And with having my children involved and going out west, I didn't want to walk into something and, you know, have it be a completely different story. I really need to learn how to trust. I know that he loves me. I love him. But with the situation with her, it's really, I know, send it down the river, but it's really, it's bothersome.
And what I'm hearing is, and they're telling me, repeat what you said. He right now is not in a place to appreciate who you are. He needs to shift before he can really, really appreciate who you are. Now, that shift can happen in a breath. It can happen in an instant. It can happen in 2 days.
Okay.
The important thing for you is do not wait for him. You got work to do.
I do.
You got work to do.
Huh.
And it is for you to be mindful of the work that you're here to do. And if he comes along and is, you know, where he needs to be, it's a beautiful thing. If he makes some different choices, it's still a beautiful thing because you got work to do. You got support with you on your journey. You got power in your hands, also your feet. Something about you walking on barefooted ground. Ground barefoot is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
A healing tool for you, but it's also an exchange with the earth. So you got work to do.
Well,
that's all I got to say.
Right. Well, thank you again. Bless you both. Love and light. And thank you. I appreciate
you. And listen, feel free to keep in touch. All right?
Yeah.
Let us know how you're doing. And, you know, I mean, Anthony's website is, or to contact Anthony, you can get a hold of him at info at visionsoftheheart.org, or you can post something on another reality show, or you can come on Facebook. But keep in touch, because you just lit the whole show up tonight, and you're beautiful.
Because I need to know where to send the blessings for your restaurant.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Nice.
Yes. One more. Can you repeat that one more time, honey?
Yes. info@visionsoftheheart.org. All visions of the heart, no spaces in between.
Okay.
.org. Not com, but org.
Okay, great. And, just thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Listen,
I appreciate
what
you
called in helped me tonight. Listening to your story and your wonderful reflection from my own journey. And believe me, I'm going into the desert. I'm giving up water, but you know, it's like, boy, it's good to be around those who are nourishing with it.
I'll tell you what, it's actually raining outside too, so that's.
I love it. Yeah, you were a blessing. Thank you for calling. Truly,
thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you
all
very
right.
much. I will keep
Namaste,
in touch.
Namaste, sweetheart. Namaste.
Namaste.
Bye now. Wow. Aunt, that was amazing. That was a great call. That was
she's going to blossom.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh, yeah, I could feel that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are powerful times. Powerful, powerful times. You know, it's like, because I kept thinking to myself, you know, even if, you know, let's just say 12 eggs were laid all on the same day, the chicks don't come out necessarily all at the same time.
No.
You know, I mean, even if it's just by minutes, it's still everybody births when their time is to birth, and it's an organic process, so it's nothing that, you know, it's not like a C-section. You know, when it's organic, it happens when it happens, and our partners, it doesn't necessarily happen to our partners.
Right, right.
You know, at the same time. So that was a great read. I enjoyed it, because what I encourage everyone to feel into is these reads are universal.
Yeah.
You know, this. Okay, can you share how they're applicable to all of us? We all have parts of us that are, you know, who were the ones that are calling in. I mean, I was, because I didn't catch her name. Did you catch her name?
No, I didn't.
She said I couldn't hear it, and I have to get more, you know. It's funny, because when I'm in this space that I'm in, I was afraid to say, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm afraid to walk on the ground thinking it's going to shatter under my feet. So I have a good sense that we're going to hear from her. And whoever she was, she really was beautifully symbolic for myself. And like I said, and anybody who's listening, your reads are really, I love the earthbound, not the earthbound, that's incorrect, the earth reference, because I know myself to be of the elements of the earth. And there's messages and wisdom in the subtleties of it, not necessarily the 80% water of our body, you know, but the subtleties of the wisdom of the elements.
Right.
And you're clearly connected. It was very good. I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
I want to put it out there.
That, how when you have information for one person that it could be, you know, universal. My experience with that is I facilitate a meditation circle every Tuesday evening. And we may have 4 to 10, 11 people, and I'm guided to provide, to give insights to each person.
Okay. Nice.
But I tell them, you know, even though I'm giving this insight to you, everyone listen, because there may be something in it for you as well. And then what we're finding out with this circle is that people are starting to have very similar experiences and seeing very similar things. And it's a, when we come together, the synergy of the circle takes over. And so it's not just your own individual experience. You're part of the whole circle. And then I'm reminded of something one of my teachers, Iyanna Van Zandt, always said when we were in class. She said, if it's in the chair, it's in the room. So if one person is experiencing it, the whole, everyone in the room is an, is experiencing it too. You just have to see what it looks like for you.
Exactly.
The essence of it, everyone experiences it in some shape, form, or fashion. And so the insights, you know, can be applicable to everyone. The other thing is, you know, I'll say something, and, you know, she will hear what she needs to hear. Someone else will hear something totally different.
Yes. Yes, I think,
their higher self is receiving what they need to hear in that moment.
Yeah, this is all the aspect of being multidimensional, because each aspect, in, depending on what dimension they're in, will hear something particular to that dimension in that frequency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was hot. All right, so I'm going to put it out there. You know, I welcome callers tonight. 646-929-2084. The Reverend Anthony Farmer has given, you know, exquisite readings, and you know, I don't know anybody around that couldn't use a reading right now. You know, we could all use a little guidance in our lives, myself included.
Even if it's a question about, you know, the work that we do, that can generate insights and readings too.
Cool. No, well, and I posted on Facebook that, you know, whatever is can assist you in this time. There's no wrong question. I don't believe you can ever ask a wrong question.
No.
You know, every question has pertinence. This is where I'm at, where I'm starting to understand the value of everything. I mean, truly everything. It's quite a powerful time, definitely.
Because when you say that, what comes to me is, you know, everything in God's world is sacred. Everything is sacred.
Mm.
And, you know, we are sacred. And if we're sacred, then everything about us is sacred. And even those things that we would never even associate as being sacred, it's like, but there's something in it. There's something in there that is sacred, you know. Those experiences that seem to be just, for me, kicking my butt, you know, not putting me on my knees, but laying me flat on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And causing me to say all sorts of things that I wouldn't say on the radio. Even in that experience, there's something sacred in there. And I may not can you know, pinpoint exactly what it is when I'm going through it, but sometimes in hindsight and sometimes in reflection and sometimes in meditation, the sacredness, you know, comes through. And it's like, aha. I love it, those aha moments.
Definitely.
Those aha
moments. Yes. And that's a, you know, the word sacred. I think that is, you know, it's all God's creation. It's funny because, you know, there are people that believe, you know, the darkness, God didn't create the darkness. You know, that's the work of the devil, or that's Satan or Lucifer, or whatever the name they want. You know, it's like God is all light. And it's like, you know, again, from a perspective, yes, there is a dimension where it is all seen as light. I remember when The Matrix,
right,
the movie The Matrix, when his eyes got burned and he was in, you know, the city of the machines, he saw it as all light.
He saw it as all light.
Absolutely. But the truth is, in the city of machines, they were looking to kill him. You know, it's like God did create darkness when it comes down to the lower dimensions. And it's almost like, for me, there's this, Like, because when you speak about the sacredness for me is not, it's like my life isn't determined by how old I live to, how much money I have in my bank account. You know, society has determined what makes a life valuable and what makes a life invaluable, and the sacred has nothing to do with those things.
Right.
The sacred says, you know, even if I was a 13-week fetus that was aborted, my life was sacred.
Right.
And I'm really, I'm getting a real warmth over my body while I'm saying this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember where I read this, but there's a group of people, a nation of people, and they believe that, and this may be for most indigenous, if not all indigenous cultures, but they believe everyone in the village is sacred. Everyone is sacred. And they say that, you know, even the person, the child that's born with what we perceive as a physical defect, and they may not have the mobility that, you know,
mm-hmm.
most people have. They
mm-hmm.
say they are sacred because their purpose in life, in the village, is to remind us of compassion.
They're
here to teach us to remind us of being compassionate to each other.
Yeah.
And I thought, so they see value in everything. Everyone in the village, everyone in the community, everyone in the circle has value and brings value.
Yes.
And when you have that consciousness, then you don't see deformities and you don't see mental imbalances the way that we tend to see them here.
Yes.
Like, no, they bring value. This child who was born with physical deformity such that they can't move, walk. But what they bring is a reminder to the rest of us about compassion.
Yeah.
And I thought, that is powerful.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because I've worked around children for, over 20 years. And what we consider the disability, the quote-unquote disability of Down syndrome,
mm-hmm.
I literally see Down syndrome children are incredibly joyful beings. I mean, incredibly joyful beings.
Yep.
You know, and I laugh and I go, only Western medicine would consider that a disability.
We're too... This is my judgment. This is purely my judgment. But we are too quick to label something and diagnose something in order to fix it.
Yeah.
Versus just learning what is it that this person brings to the community? Because everybody brings something to the table.
Yes.
And our society doesn't necessarily cultivate that consciousness, as opposed to a consciousness of what you're gonna, what is your contribution to society? What are you gonna be when you grow up, and how are you going to contribute to, you know, the way we do business around here? And that's different than recognizing that everybody brings something to the table, a gift. Everyone is valued. Everyone has a right to be here. And what is it that you're here to bring?
Right on.
And how can we support you in nurturing that?
Right on.
Cultivating that and understanding that. We seem to have it, it's slightly, what is the word, backwards?
Yeah, we're walking oxymorons. Emphasis on the moron. No, but it's so true because our culture really emphasizes the mental acuities that we can contribute.
Right.
And what you just stated was the organic acuity that we can contribute, because the joy that these children are is their gift.
They're
joyful.
To watch.
Oh, they're exquisite. Autism, same thing. Autism, they're such brilliant, out-of-the-box perspective thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's just, it's very deep when you tap into it from their space instead of having them conform to tapping in, you know, they're contributing from our space because,
right.
You know, there's so much about surrender. Because it was funny, in my tenure of being a temporary nanny, I had one family that had an autistic little girl, and the mother was all about understanding her child's autism. And this child just was flourishing. I mean, just... I had these amazing experiences. She spoke an angelic language in my ear because I asked her. I said, "Do the angels have a message for me? Because I know you can speak to them." And she spoke a language in my ear that I didn't understand it, but I broke down in tears.
Wow!
It was a deep experience. And the other family, where the mother was, you can almost tell, you know, just bent on getting her little boy to do quote-unquote normal things, she would take away the tools he used to calm himself, which was the repetitive activity. She was like, only let him do that for 5 minutes and then stop him. And, you know, I really encouraged. I said, I don't think that's a wise idea. And she was like, you know, I'm the parent here. You're the nanny. You're going to do what I say. And I was like, okay. And he bit me. And... to be honest, in the nanny industry, once the child bites you, I went, it wasn't the child I was upset with, but I looked at the mom. I called my boss, you know, of the agency, and I went, I'm out of here.
Okay.
Because I couldn't encourage what she wanted from this little boy was really about him conforming to her expectations, where she didn't see the gift he could give her if she would just start communicating telepathically, start breathing, start seeing the world from his perspective. You know, it was just so obvious to me. And, you know, once he bit me, I literally went, thank you. I'm out of here. Time to go. Because I don't do well where... I do very well when I'm in congruency with my parents, with their kids.
Right.
When I'm out of congruency, I mean, I'm a boisterous kind of gal. I mean, I'm going to speak my mind. And from a temporary nanny agency point of view, that's not a, you know, you want to be, you got to bite your tongue a lot. Let's just put it that way. So it was, you know, I think he did it for me, to be honest, kind of knowing like, oh, she wants out. Let me let her out.
Let me
know.
And see, that's the, you know, how the universe communicates with us in so many different ways and how
right.
people communicate with us in so many different ways. And if you only look for that one way, we lose out. We miss out on so many opportunities, so many wonders.
Totally.
You know, joy has to come this way. And it's like, no, joy will come the way joy wants to come.
Yes.
And if you're open to experiencing joy, it will show up.
Yes.
Joy will show up. Bliss will show up. Elegance and grace, all those things will show up.
Yeah.
But if we think that it has to look this way, and when it doesn't, we think that, you know, somehow we're not being blessed. It's like, let's open our minds, open our consciousness, open our hearts just to experience something different or experiencing
yeah.
from a different perspective.
Yeah. Which I think is what this shift is really all about.
I
you know,
do
really,
too.
Yeah.
I
you know,
too.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, even the read that you did tonight, it, you know, it looks like a $5 bill and it's a $10 bill. I mean, because I got, whether it works out with Michael or not, the benefits are for her, no matter what. You know, this move is beneficial, and it's understanding that life doesn't have to work out the way we want it to be in order for it to be beneficial.
Right.
You know, it's because this whole life, at least from my own perspective, you know, and I think even she said it, you know, our darkest moments have produced tremendously high-quality experiences, you know, those aha moments. But it's not just an aha moment and then life goes back to the way it was. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, like when my mom passed, that was the, one of the deepest, darkest night of the soul that I've ever, you know, encountered in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, amazingly so, her death was a part of me died, and then on the same thought, her death allowed a part of me to birth that in our interaction with each other from both a physical standpoint, I always kind of, you know, she was queen bee in my area, in my part of town, so to speak. And when she passed, I really started coming into my own power. And so, you know, I literally tell people, I go, she birthed me twice. She birthed me, you know, when I was born in 65, and then she birthed me again in 2000 because her death was essentially my birth.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, and to be honest, she has come to me in the dream state and meditations, and she is like, you know, whoa, I wish I had listened to you, you know, when I was over there, you were, you know, you were right. And it's not that I needed her to say I was right, but there were a lot of things we used to battle, you know. She had cancer for the last 10 years of her life.
Okay.
So there was a lot of struggles we were going through from, I wanted to do things holistically with her, and she was, I'm doing Western medicine and only Western medicine. And, you know, we had many, you know, I bit my tongue a lot of times going, you know, gosh, she's really sick. I can't, I don't want to scream at her, you know, what do you mean you're not going to do holistic? and when she came to me post her passing, one of the greatest things she said to me was, you know, she had always believed that when you die, you go to the ground, the bugs get you, that's the end. And when she came to me and said, well, it's not the end. You know, life does continue. Just knowing she knew that was like, you know, I let out a deep breath. I exhaled and went, yeah, okay, she's going to be okay. At least, you know, she's not in, because, you know, if you go to the ground believing you're only going to go to the ground, I know how strong beliefs can be. You know, so I was like, my, you got to, you know, I know you don't believe in reincarnation, but that doesn't make it not true. And then, like I said, when she came to me, it just was, I felt good. I felt good. It's like, okay, so you got a journey to go on now, and you know, and we'll run into each other again. You know, I can't imagine any of us, no matter what our situation is with our biological parents, whether we were given up for adoption, whether, you know, there was abuse in the parents, or whether we have, you know, these amazing relationships, when we're both, when both the child and the parent is both post-life, I believe that, you know, we come together and go, you know, high-fiving each other going, wasn't that an amazing life? Like, oh, my God, you know, whether they kicked our ass or whether they, you know, held us up high and we were the pride and twinkle of their eyes, it's all good on the other side. You know, that's, it's all at least understood. And,
right.
You know, there's such a wider perspective of exactly. why the fighting or why the friction might have been going on, because our family, we take on so much energetic growth and soul growth with our blood family, you know, our blood relatives, that you can't help but, you know, you kind of just sense, it's like, you know, gosh, if I feel this much negativity around you, there's got to be, you know, this is what I'm starting to, you know, really genuinely get. That means there's value to you, because there's even value to those that, you know, I hate to the core, which I don't anymore, but there have been experiences in my life, molestations and things of that nature,
right,
that brought me to those experiences. And, you know, I went to therapy for years, you know, to understand it. And it's funny, because once all parties are wrapped in, like, this golden light of the Christed energy,
yes,
you really understand everything from the perspective of, you know, we're each, like, it's almost like you would look at a play, you know, and at the end of the play, the curtains go up, and everybody who died gets back up, and all the protagonists, you know, are standing in line with all the heroes, and we're all taking our bows going, thank you very much, thank you very much. Wasn't that a great show?
I love that. That is beautiful. That is really, really beautiful. There's a light shining over here as you were saying that. And, you know, and I believe that too. I also realize that some people are, you know, right in the middle of their experiences and they're going, you can't tell me that there's something valuable in me going through what I am going through. You know, right in this very moment, somebody is listening going, I am going through hell and high water, and you cannot tell me that there's value in this. And from my experience, some of the things I went through, physical and emotional, but mostly physical, when I was going through it, I couldn't see the value in it. Couldn't see anything in it other than the pain that I was experiencing and the discomfort I was experiencing and the anger I was experiencing. But I kept breathing, kept moving forward, taking a step forward, sometimes not knowing if I was taking a step, but kept going, till I got to a point where I could turn back around and look at it and go, ah, aha,
yeah,
I can see it now.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't rush those. You can't make yourself see the value in something if you're not at a place of readiness.
Yes,
because
I agree.
That can be violent as well. I will see the value. That can be so violent.
Yeah.
But it's like eventually somewhere along your journey, if you keep breathing and keep moving forward and keep taking a step, even if you're not sure where you're going, but you keep taking a step, somewhere along the lines you're going to almost organically turn around and look back at something and see it from a totally different perspective. It won't change what happened, but you will be given an opportunity to change the impact that it has on your life. And then you will see the value, maybe not in that experience, but the value in seeing that you survived it. It was hell
right.
when I was going through it, but I survived it.
Yes.
Whatever the value is
because
for you.
Most of us don't know our strength
That's
until
it.
It's called upon in a situation of crises or chaos or, you know, something extreme. I mean, it's such an understanding because one of the things I'm coming to, especially as I'm entering this desert aspect of myself,
uh-huh.
is that every chaotic situation I've ever been in, and, you know, this is starting from 3 years old when I was, that's the conscious age I remember being molested.
Uh-huh.
Every situation that I've ever been in that's brought me pain or chaos or fear was my soul connecting with me.
Ooh.
Like my soul wanted me to have that experience. I didn't have that experience because I was devalued. I had that experience because I am highly valued.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the shift.
Exactly.
Shift.
It's why I'll speak about these things. Because it took shame into glory.
Right.
I mean, it's a metamorphosis. I believe it is literally, you experience it as a caterpillar, but it has the properties that if you breathe through it and allow it and really seek the understanding, and not only from the witness point of view, because that is often the mind not feeling. And,
right.
and I honor the witness point of view. But if you want to genuinely become the butterfly, it's through the feelings that the metamorphosis happens. And, you know, because I can remember several years ago, my cousin was the one who was molesting me, and one of our second cousins had her sweet 16 party, and my cousin was at the party, and he had eliminated himself from our family for several years. But he was at this party, and, you know, I went up to him, and I hugged him, and I told him I loved him. And, you know, he was like, you know, wow, where is this coming from? And, you know, I was really quite honest with him. I said, I'm just too tired to hate you. I don't want to hate you anymore. I'm exhausted from hating you.
Wow.
And, yeah, I was just, I was exhausted from carrying this weight on my shoulders of you're a bad person. It's like, listen, because you really reach a point where I've been a bad person. I mean, I have seen myself do things to people that were not pleasant.
Right.
And I'm fully responsible, and I take ownership for them. Now, this is years later, but what I got in my exhaustion, you know, was that the energetics behind hatred it's a mental construct. There's nothing organic about hate. And I didn't know that until I was ready to know that, because there was a point in time, until I reached that point where I was exhausted from this burden I was carrying, I was thriving in it. I mean, oh my God, it felt amazing to hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a shift, and it was my soul injected me with a compassion that went, okay, you've spent a good, you know, 10 years hating him. Now, here's a shot of compassion. Now what are you going to do with it? And it was like, I mean, it just literally dissolved the hatred into, I need to understand all this. And truth, I did the work. I was in therapy a good portion of those 10 years.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't like, I think it comes from a conscious effort on my part and a conscious effort from my soul's part.
Yes.
But when that moment does come, it is just a moment, like you were saying. There's no, you can't force that moment. That's why I've seen people go into, quote unquote, a revengeful state from a betrayal, whatever the betrayal. And I've had other situations where I also went into revenge for this other woman in my life for 4 years. And I mean, everything I do, I really do balls to the wall. You know, it's like when I want to experience something, I go very. I'm willing to almost die in my depth of how I go deep into. I went deep into the darkness of betrayal, deep into the darkness of hatred, deep into the darkness of drugs. But on that same note, as deep as I went into the darkness, when that shot of compassion or however it works hits you, it's like to the exact degree that you're dark, you go into the space of it's beyond light. It's an illuminous, it's a luminosity.
Ooh.
Because, you know, it's not the basic, it's not just the polar opposite of dark. It's the integration of the light and the dark into a greater space than, you know, than I have ever known myself to even be capable of going. I didn't know I was capable of going there, but that's only because I've always been at it through the dark side. But what I really encourage everyone to acknowledge is be gentle with yourself. I mean, because a lot of this came from the shot of compassion was more importantly, not necessarily to my cousin, but to myself. I didn't kick my own ass for going into these spaces so deeply and so darkly. I just didn't. I just went, wow, what a trip that was.
That's why self-nurturing, self-honoring, self-appreciating, self-loving, compassion to self is so important. It is so important. And so many of us, we look for someone outside of us to deliver that, but it has to start within. It has to start within, and it is so valuable to be gentle with self, to love self, to honor self, to appreciate self.
Yeah,
things are very important. But one thing I'm being tapped on my shoulder to say to you is several times you've mentioned that, you know, you're going into the desert. And from the elemental perspective, the desert represents the sun and fire.
Oh, okay.
That comes, the fire will burn away the impurities.
Oh, yeah, transformation, definitely.
Transformation, the alchemic part of the journey, and the elder fire is like breathing over here and saying, be mindful of what you're about to walk into, or what you have begun to walk into. You know, the transformation of the fire, but it's even deeper than transformation. If the fire will support you not only in changing and transforming and transmuting, but also transcending.
Oh, wow.
So just be mindful of that. You don't have to go looking for it, but just be mindful of that. And so, you know, like you were saying earlier about, you know, friends are starting to, your relationship with friends is starting to shift. And it's part of the property of the fire. It's going to burn away the things that you no longer need.
Yeah.
To make room for the things that you will need.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's cute.
Are you feeling the heat? Because there
heat. My ears are burning right now.
There is a tremendous, and it's an illumination, you know, and it's coming right from the center of my chest, that unified field that, it's not necessarily the heart chakra, it's my fifth dimension.
Okay.
You know, I as you were speaking it, it's like, whoa.
Oh, it's like my ears are burning over here.
Let me make the announcement again, too. If anybody would like a reading from our beautiful Reverend Anthony, the number is 646-929-2084. Or you guys in the chat room, if you have a question, if you type out a question, you know, he can connect to you any way you guys are comfortable connecting.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Not that I'm not thoroughly enjoying my time with you. I do enjoy our time, Anthony. So tell me if you're open to sharing, and if we get a question, I'll let you know. Tell me about the church, because I would like to be able to, you know, how can I support you energetically? What, speak of this so the world knows. I mean, what's going on with that?
The church, or the spiritual community, it's called Visions of the Heart Spiritual Life Center. And the essence of this Spiritual Life Center is experiencing, exploring, embracing truth, love, wisdom, and community, which can be found in all of the world's religions and spiritual practices. We are an interfaith, interspiritual community. And the essence of what we are is about, you know, our mission is to support people to connect to truth, love, and wisdom, and the sacred in the hearts of humanity, one heart at a time.
Right on.
And so our you know, what we're doing is creating a community where people are awakening and are embracing universal or God consciousness, and are really rooted in the concept that we are all one. We're all connected. We're all divine. We're all sacred. We're all part of a whole. And so with that, and I was fighting this. Oh, Lord, I was fighting this. Because I wanted, you know, getting back to what we started off talking about, I wanted a once-a-month shamanic circle.
Okay. Because
I could handle that. I could not handle being, seeing myself in a chapel with a pulpit and pews, because in my mind, you know, that required me to speak a certain way, to speak a certain language and reference, you know, the Bible and things like that. And,
right.
You know, that's what I was going on, and Spirit kept telling me, that is just not you.
Right.
You know, you can speak from the Bible. You can speak from the teachings of Buddha. The very first service we had, my sermon message was part me speaking and part taking people on a shamanic journey.
Nice.
And, you know, we beat the drum. We do libations, we do meditations, we bring in
spiritual practices from all of the religions and all of the spiritual walks of life, and we bring them in and bring them together to create a sacred space for people to connect to each other heart to heart.
Right on.
And it's like community is a place where you can feel at home in someone else's heart.
Wow.
And so that's what we're creating and building and manifesting, this place where you, you know, what I say every time is, we welcome your heart home. No matter your spiritual walk, your religious journey, where you come from, where you're going, all hearts are welcome.
Nice.
And so our services, we have services every Sunday now. Our first and second and third Sunday, you know, we have a guest speaker. I mean, I speak on the first Sunday, the second Sunday. We have a guest speaker on the third Sunday. Our fourth Sunday service is a prayer and drumming service.
Nice.
So we sit around in a circle and we have prayer and drum. And then on the fifth Sunday, it's I call it our honoring the family service. And what came to me 2 days ago, 3 days ago, was every fifth Sunday we will have a family dinner. That will be our service, a
nice
family dinner.
Nice. You know, it sounds like it's like a transformation from, you know, because what I think is happening to many people, literally globally, is the organized religions, the way they have been, have not, you know, that shell I was speaking of, you know, the chick is growing too big for the shell, and, you know, there's a lot of this whole transparency, and, you know, it's coming out that, I think religions really from the old standpoint was much more about a manipulation and a deception, as opposed to assisting us in becoming enlightened and assisting us to becoming the fully conscious souled being that we are.
Yeah.
I remember the first conversation I ever had with you. I was driving home from a buddy's house because I saw Reverend, and I was like, what exactly does that mean? And remember? And you shared with me, you know, you're just beautiful, Anthony. And I was like, oh, my God, yes. Okay, good. You know, because I'm all about, you know, ministers, as long as it's incorporating the genuine understanding, or at least supporting the understanding of the soul growth.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the soul awareness. That's however that looks, no matter what the language, you know. And so, you know, it's like, it's beautiful, because what you're doing is, you know, and what your guides are sharing you to do is, it's time to bring a new look to church. You know,
I resisted calling of the church. Because
yeah,
when
I can imagine. Yeah.
Because part of my growth is, when I heard the word church, or when I spoke the word church, it was an old paradigm.
Yeah.
And so I resisted speaking it as a word church. And the place that we have service, it's a chapel in a Presbyterian church. When I first went there, I didn't want to go there because it looked like church.
Right.
When the situation was such that was the place we were to go, because the journey there was just so smooth and elegant.
Mm.
And the first Sunday we had service there, I started laughing because my guidance said, welcome home. And they laughed because, yeah, we know you would find it very interesting that this is home to you.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah.
Yeah, you know that churches were built on very powerful ley lines.
Yes, they were.
From an energetic... You know, it's like when utilized for, you know, the genuine benefit of the human and the soul connection and expansion, they're very powerful spaces. You know, that's why it kind of makes sense that, you know, it's about kind of, you know, revamping the energy, revamping. And remember, this is happening from within us.
Right.
You know, it's not like... You know, we're fighting it. It's not like we're in the dark ages fighting this. We are literally, you know, we're all becoming the butterflies. And again, when I say we're all those who are ready to become butterflies by, you know, it's divine time for the those to become butterflies. And, you know, inevitably everybody in my belief, I believe everybody will become a butterfly. All paths lead back home, no matter, even if you choose to go another million years and play in timelines that are all about duality, that's fine, because ultimately we're eternal beings. In eternity, all we know how to do is play and create. That's what we do.
I say everyone is finding their way.
Yeah.
Everybody is finding their way. Now, some of us are moving, you know, forward. Some of us are moving, but we're walking around in a circle. And some people have started to walk backwards. But even those who are walking backwards, they're still trying to find their way. They're finding their way because they either have gotten off path or, you know, like Bugs Bunny, they took a wrong turn at Albuquerque. But eventually they're going to find their way, because it is what life is all about, finding your way.
Yeah.
And I have a friend I was talking to yesterday, and he's in a situation where he's finding himself back home, and he's like, well, I don't know what to do. I said, make a choice. Well, I want to make the wrong choice. I said, doesn't matter. All choices are good.
Yeah.
Just make a choice.
Yeah.
And I could hear him. He was afraid to make the choice, and he was wanting, you know, other people to make the choice for him. He's wanting me to tell him what the choice is. And I said, you have to make the choice, the fundamental choice. Do I stay or do I go? And he said, well, if I stay, And if I said, no. That's too many choices at one time. You have to make that first fundamental choice. Do I stay or do I go? Make that choice and then breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask yourself, what's the next choice? But either which way you choose, you're going to find your way.
Yes.
You're going to find your way, because your life is your journey.
Yes.
Your life is your journey. And eventually, eventually we all get home.
Well, you know, the quantum leap for me was when I understood my life was a labyrinth, not a maze.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Juicy, huh?
I'm like, ooh, okay, cool.
I love you, Anthony. I so feel you. Yeah. And it's funny, because when I look at pictures, I remember the first time I walked the labyrinth. I mean, literally, my mind was in my head going, What is this nonsense? You know, does walking a path going this way, that way, so what? And, you know, of course, it was like, you know, well, I kind of hushed myself, and my friends were there. It was like, oh, no, I'm ready. Let's do this. By the time I got into center, I was so blown away by all the insights.
Wow.
Coming close to center, going away from center, walking in one direction, appearing to be close, appearing, you know, it answered so much, so much. And it's a level of awareness that, because I have looked at labyrinths online and I'm like, wow, that looks like a maze. And that's when it hit me. I went, see, a maze is, you know, there's only one way out, but you got to figure it out. A labyrinth is, there's no figuring it out. Just keep moving forward. You're never not on path, ever.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Thank you.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, well, I can't tell you how much I enjoy our chat.
I will give you credit when I use that in a sermon one day.
Oh, thank you. You don't even have to. Just enjoy it, definitely. You're sweet. Where are you located? You're in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, I'm in metropolitan Washington, D.C.
You know what? I think I'm going to come down one weekend. I'm coming down for a sermon. And maybe what I'll do is a weekend that you're doing, you know, other things, so I can come for the weekend. Like, do you have things going on like Saturdays and stuff, circles or Reiki healings, anything?
We have a Reiki share is on the first Thursday of the month.
Okay.
And we have our meditation circle every Tuesday.
So okay,
right
so
now, those
okay.
are the three things we're offering.
Okay, okay.
Just for now. However,
okay.
You let me know when you're coming down, and who knows what else we could get into.
Yeah, because even if we just went on a hike together, or yeah, indeed. I will let you know, because I've decided, too, that, you know, part of what I'm understanding, you know, I have done a lot of the interior work.
Yes.
And I'm starting to see that for the true changes, for me to even understand them, is I have to take my relationships from being on the phone.
Okay.
I have to go into life. I have
okay.
to come back out. And because when I first had my awakening, I was such a social butterfly. Oh, my goodness. You know, all involved in healing centers. And you know, I'm not quite sure how it's going to look, but I just know it's like I want to start being part of the physical reality of people. I love my radio show, but it's, again, it's a connection through the technology.
Right.
You know, and I'm very much, and I believe the desert is the last part of this for me, that, and not saying that I would not still balance time of being, you know, going quietly within, but I'm starting to see myself having talks with people live and, you know, in bookstores or libraries or healing centers, whatever it is. I just know it's like, I'm wanting to be done with the cocoon part. I've been, you know, kind of in the cocoon part, years, literally years.
Well, someone,
and,
I can't remember who told me, they said that, you know, years ago the monks were the ones who lived away from, you know, away from the tribe, away from the community, away from the circle. They lived in their, you know, places in the mountains by themselves.
Right.
But what's being required now is for the monks to live amongst the people.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, those of us who have walked a journey at a level of consciousness that we can share with others, we're being asked to do that.
Yeah.
To live
Namaste.
Right in the thick
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am also guided to tell you that that for you to really appreciate the work that you're doing through the radio show.
Uh-huh.
Because lots of times you, and probably more than you realize, you are an inspiration to people and you don't even know who you are inspiring.
Mm, that's true. That's part of the reason why I want to start going, you know, into live.
Yeah.
Not saying I want to see their faces. You know, I want to, because I'll be honest with you, and I would imagine you feel this as well when you're doing the radio shows that you do. The energy when I'm done with the show, I mean, I'm. my top is spinning.
I have my trusty root chakra spray right next to me so I can switch myself.
Yeah, so I honor that and I am grateful because I can feel that what I'm really starting to learn more than anything right now is literally being authentically me.
Ah.
Is what people are responding to the most.
Yes.
You know, just sharing me, not trying to be a light worker, not trying to be a radio personality.
Right.
Just Goldie sharing her story, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, seems to be what is inspiring the most, definitely.
And that's it. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to, I want to read you something that I posted today on my Facebook.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing. It says, "You are not allowed to be anything but who you really are." and you cannot accommodate anyone else's vision of who they think you are supposed to be. Now is the time you must find that core essence living inside of you in order to outwardly manifest your real potential as a soul actualized being. God knows who you really are, and now you must find the real you by facing God. And God is calling you to the carpet to be authentically human, and you may not like it.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a quote by Lisa Renee. I read that, I went, oh yes, Goldie's gonna post that one. That I resonated with it, because you know, it's so funny how, you know, one of the hardest trips of, you know, I'm at the end of my journey, so to speak, of all this transformation that was going on within, and it's like the last membrane that I'm trying to break through is literally the simplicity of just being me, you know, not being something I think I'm supposed to be, just being me.
I got the same or similar message, and I wrote it or posted it on my Facebook page, in my blog, and the entry is called The Gift. And
okay.
I was walking and I found this dollar bill and was in my head about what this was, da-da-da-da-da. And what I heard once I got very quiet, I exhausted my mental chatter, I heard, I gave you the dollar. It was a gift. And I gave you a gift. And it is for you to give your gift, to share your gift of you with the world. That is all I ask of you.
Wow.
And it's it parallels what you read about, you know, the gift is our authentic self. And
yeah.
Just be our authentic self.
Right. And it is the greatest gift we could. Because just as we were saying with the Down syndrome and the autistic children.
Yeah.
You know, that we are still the child. You know, we are still our own child. And our gift is our journey. That is. Because I think the gift that I, at this point that I'm sharing is simply that, you know, that which you think is going to kill you, we can get through.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I can share that because I've been to the depths of my own darkness. And
yes.
And instead of being there from a place of shame, I'm now at a place where it's like, you know, really very compassionate about, you know, the addicted life. I mean, I'm still releasing addictions from the understanding of, wow, there's even more of that to clear. You know, it's like, you know, it does feel endless, but there is definitely something significant, and I believe it's as much that Mother Nature is assisting us as it is our own soul. Something has shifted that has made, at least for me, the dark just doesn't get as dark anymore, and the pain just doesn't stab me as deeply. It just, you know, when I was down and out, like you were saying, I was on my back. There was no knees. I was on my back when my mother died 16 years ago.
Uh-huh.
She didn't die 16 years ago. My bad. She died 11 years ago. And it seemed like just the ability to get through that was enough to help me understand that whatever I rebirthed myself, this new being was able to handle breakups better. You know, this new being is more compassionate to my own experience of, you know, understanding addictions from a different place. You know, it's like we get awarenesses, and those awarenesses definitely change the way we experience the whole construct of it. The whole thing shifts and changes.
Right.
It's really quite amazing. We are just about at the top of the hour. Anthony, I love you, my friend.
I really
enjoy our time together. I mean that sincerely. I'm just going to keep inviting you back because she keeps saying yes.
Okay.
So share where people can get a hold of you, you know, websites and Facebook names and all that good stuff.
On Facebook, I am Anthony Farmer. My visions
visionsoftheheart.org. Visionsoftheheart.org, it's all one word, is the website. Either one of those, you can find me and find email address and connect with me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. And I love the idea that, you know, you are putting on a new face to spirituality in your community. I support you in everything, all your endeavors. And truth be told, I'm coming to see you. I don't know when I'm coming, and I'll definitely let you know, but I would really like to come down and experience you live. Very
okay,
much
great.
I would like
cool.
that. Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, me too. You're a beautiful, beautiful being. I'm so you're one of those, you know, you just came into my world, and, you know, I love it because I'm growing with you. You know, it's like I'm very perceptive now to the ones I'm growing with because
okay.
I'm perceptive to the ones I'm not growing with.
Okay, yeah. I understand
yeah,
that, too.
Yeah, so the balance of that is very comforting, and I really appreciate it. So,
awesome.
Yeah, have an amazing evening. Thank you for joining us, and I will definitely be in touch. At the very least, we're definitely to come back on and do another show.
Okay, great. All right, dear.
Outstanding. All right, thank you, Anthony. Many
Bye.
Blessings. Take care.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.